Judges, the second chapter. Did you find it? It's in your Bible all along. Verse number 7. The people served the Lord all the days of Joshua. Verse 7. All the days of Joshua. As long as they had someone out front to give them encouragement, direction, and to give them the example of following. You know, the best thing we can do as we preach, and I think somebody mentioned it this morning in Sunday school, as we share the gospel, is to live by faith so that people will see that it's not just something we believe on Sundays, but something that is who we are, that we are Christians, that we're not just of the Christian faith. And so Joshua was out front, and as long as Joshua was leading, the people followed God. As long as he was alive. Why? Because Joshua, let's go back with Joshua. He lived in Egypt. He walked through that desert. He went in at Kadesh Barnea and saw the beauty. And he said, guys, let's take this land that God's given us. He and Caleb were the only ones. They tried to stone him. He didn't back down, but he didn't get his way. They endured 40 years of wandering and all the time. And I'm sure that Joshua was a better man than this, but I could just imagine him kicking rocks all the way. They should have done what I told them to do, and we'd already be in there. 39 years and 6 months, he starts looking around. He says, you know, there's not a lot left that were there with us that day. And they're continuing to have funerals for these people along the way. And at the end of 40 years, all of those above the age of 20 are gone. That wouldn't go in. Only Joshua and Caleb and their families, the only ones remain above the, you know, that were above the age of 20 at that time of the punishment. He looks around, he's the only old man. Caleb, his family. But the people followed him because he had faith. By the way, the others that were still in that group, remember the Levites were not included in the judgment. So there were some that had experienced it that saw that. And it says, as we continue in verse 7, and all the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. So there were some who had seen the manna. There were some who had seen the water from the rock. There were some who had seen the provision of God along the way. Guys, don't forget, their clothes didn't wear out in 40 years. Their shoes didn't wear out in 40 years. That's incredible. Walking through a desert. And so there were some who stayed faithful. But they were the ones that had a personal experience. Let me tell you, we're going to be in trouble in this country if we don't get our children into a personal relationship with God. It's not enough that they'll behave as long as we're around. It's not enough that they'll behave as long as those that they recognize are around. They have got to have a personal relationship with God. And we have got to have a personal relationship with God. That's what this is about. The experience. What has God done? And I love when you give testimonies. You work on that. Get a good testimony together, and we'll have a testimony service where you can tell everybody what God did in your life. Believable or unbelievable, I don't care, as long as it's true. And let's talk about what God's done for us. Let's talk about how we've seen God work in his handwork so that it's more than just a religion. We've experienced the power of God. That's what we must have. That's what they must have. As long as Joshua and the elders that outlived Joshua were around, Israel stayed on course with God. Verse 8, and Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. They buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the Mount of Ephraim, the north side of the hill of Gash. And also, that generation were gathered to their fathers. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord. We are experiencing the fruits of I'm not going to force my kids to go to church. We are experiencing the fruits of I'm not going to drag my children to church if they don't want to go. I'm not going to tell them they have to believe it. Well, let me tell you something. You can't make somebody get saved. But I can make my kids go to church. They might fuss when they got to brush their teeth, but I can make them brush their teeth. You see, it's my responsibility as the parent. And they know in my house not to say, I don't want to go. Y'all ever seen somebody have a conniption? So have they. We don't talk that way in my house. We go over to Joshua. What Joshua say? As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to. Now you can pout the whole time you're at church, but you're going to go. And you're going to hear the word of God. And you're going to see the people and hear the testimonies. Again, let me say, it is important for me. I don't like it when y'all fall asleep in church. Brother Bobby, wake up. I only say that because he said this morning that he fell asleep in church. He didn't. I was watching. He didn't. There were a couple of them, but I'm not going to call you out. Look, I don't blame people for falling asleep when the preacher's preaching. You know who I blame? The preacher. I don't blame the people because if the music is not peppy enough. You know what I know who I blame? I blame the song leader. Y'all say, Brother Derek, slow down. No, it's got to be peppy. Sister Denise never knows what to do up here. I hold it out or I go real fast and she just stays. She's great, isn't she? Never know what to do with me up here leading the singing. Peppy, peppy, peppy. In fact, I've got a list of songs that we could sing in church, and they're all peppy. Because it's important that we have enthusiasm and energy in our song service. Look, the energy comes from here. It doesn't come from guitars and drums and trumpets. I mean, if you got one, you want to bring it, that's fine. But the energy comes from singing, from voices, from enthusiasm. Get excited about worship and about praise. I don't blame people when they say, well, the music in that church is terrible. I don't blame people. I blame us, if that's the case, which it's not. Guys, it's on us to show those children love so that they want to come to church. There's a little boy. This wasn't part of this, but let me just tell you. In coaching, we got a little boy that came to baseball. Let's just say baseball. Anyway, he came to practice, and he came to the game. And you know what little kids do when they come to the game? He's probably 6 or 7 years old, and what do? Throwing his glove, laying down. And I said, hey, come on, get up. I don't want to be here. It's too hot. Then why'd you sign up? And I said that to him. I said, hey, if you don't want to be here, don't be here. Next game, he wasn't there. I told his cousin, you make sure he comes next game. You tell him I looked for him. You tell him I missed him. You know why he didn't come to that game? Because the coach told him, if you don't want to come, don't come. That's why he didn't come. That next time he showed up, he was there, and I just hugged on him and loved on him and glad you're here, and I'm so happy you're here. And he hadn't missed since then. He still lays on the field. But I imagine that's the only love he got all week was from that coach. And let me tell you something about these children. This may be the only love they get all week. They need to see happy and loving and faithful. They need to know they're important to us. Hey, it's not just the children, is it? We need that too. I've always said I don't want to be where I'm not wanted. Every job I've taken, I always tell the boss, I go in, I sit down, I say, now look, if this ever gets to the point where it's not working for you, all you've got to do is say so, and I leave. I said that to y'all. I'm glad it's working out. But see, we all need that, don't we? We all need to feel loved. We all need to feel included. And when people come in here and they don't feel wanted, they don't come back and they don't get Jesus. From the oldest to the youngest, that's what they need. When Joshua died and all the elders that had that personal relationship with God were no longer telling the stories. And you ever see somebody tell a story? Imagine when Joshua told a story and they say, well, Joshua, tell us again about what happened. Man, we come right up to the edge of the Red Sea. There were enemies to the north. There were enemies to the south. There were the Egyptians pursuing from behind. And they hated us. And by the way, we took a lot of their stuff with us too. And they were coming after us and they were coming hard. And we said, Moses, you brought us out here. We're going to die. And Moses reached out his staff over the water and a wind blew and the ocean stood up. The sea stood up like a wall. And we crossed over on dry ground, not muddy ground, not marshy ground, dry ground. And then when the last one got across, I mean, we were running, we were doing everything we could. And there were lots of people we got across there. And the last one stepped up onto the beach. And that wall came down. Drowned all those Egyptian warriors. And we were free on the other side. Can you imagine when Joshua told that story? He told it better than anybody else could. But see what happened one day, Joshua wasn't around to tell that story anymore. You see, we need to be able to tell about our testimony, about when I got saved, about when you got saved, about that moment we realized that we were not bound for heaven, that we were bound for hell, that we didn't have a Savior, that we maybe just had religion. And we called out to God in prayer and said, God, I trust you. And I ask you to forgive my sins and save my soul. And God, I give my life to you. And I want to live for you. And I want to experience what you have for me in this life. You see, that means something. But they didn't know God. Nor yet the works which God had done. They hadn't seen that. They didn't know about the manna. They didn't know about the... By the way, they complained about the manna. Isn't it incredible how we complain about God's provision? God's so good to us and we complain about it. And the children of Israel, verse 11, did evil in the sight of the Lord and even served Balaam. They forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt. Followed other gods of the gods of the people that were round about them, and they bowed themselves to those gods, and they provoked the Lord to anger. Verse 13, they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. We've got to give our people with no experience some inspiration to walk with God, to grow in Christ. If we're going to save them from a future without God's protection. Look at verse 14. The anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. He delivered them into the hands of the spoilers that spoiled them. He sold them into the hands of their enemies round about so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. Let me tell you something. When we are tempted, we have an advocate. When we are tempted, we have the one who comes alongside, the Holy Spirit of God, the Comforter. And He's with us. When we are tempted, when we don't know what to do, we can cry out to God and get right to the throne room with Jesus Christ as our Savior. But we're leaving a bunch of defenseless children. Those children are grown now, aren't they? Because this has been going on for generations. Defenseless adults. Look at what's going on in our country. Why? Of people who knew not the Lord. Yeah, we've brought a whole bunch of them in, our country has, from other countries. And then convinced them that they didn't have to become like us just because they lived among us. They could still fly their own flag, have their own culture. Look at what we're experiencing now. They brought in, look, I believe in the land of the free, and I believe in the right to believe whatever you want to believe. That's something our country's founded on. But if you don't believe in Jesus, you're hellbound. I'm trying to give you something to save your life, that'll save your eternity, that'll save your soul. And now I'm the one considered a bigot. We're leaving them defenseless, and we're leaving our country defenseless. I remember in 1991, January, the first bomb was dropped. CNN had it live. The image, as it blew something up over there in the Gulf. Brother Rodney saw it up close. And I remember what we did that night. We went to church. We got on our knees and we prayed. I remember what happened on September 11th in this country. When that second plane hit, and we knew this was not an accident. And I know where I was that night, along with many other people who never went to church before that, in God's house on our knees, praying for God's grace. And God extended us grace. But we've got a generation of people who know not God. And I don't blame them. Because it's our job. I don't know if we can save this country. I love America, don't get me wrong. But the next election is not going to save this country. The only thing that's going to save this country is people getting right with God. If the Christians get right and the lost get saved. Verse number 18. When the Lord raised them up judges, the Lord was with the judge, delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of that judge. It repented the Lord because of their groanings by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them. You see, they didn't have a personal relationship with God, but they knew enough in their history to know that when they got in trouble, they needed God, just like we talked about January and September. People who didn't know God came to church and prayed, listened to prayers and participated. God, and here it says, and God would put a, God said, well, they're groaning, let me give them somebody to lead them. And he'd give them a leader and they'd follow and they'd serve God. And then when that leader died, they went right back to it. Verse 19, it came to pass when that judge was dead, they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers and following other gods to serve them, bow down to them, and they ceased not from their own doings nor from their stubborn way. It begins here. It begins with us. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. It starts here. And then we've got to start reaching out and making a difference. Because this is the only thing that can set us, U.S., on the right course. Let's pray. God, we do love you so much and we're thankful for the opportunity we've had tonight to be in your house with your word and sing praises and hymns, and we pray that you will draw us to you. We pray for our country. God, we pray that you will touch our hearts and that you will give us opportunity to make a difference, that souls will be saved and that lives will be changed. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.